Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
This is Sideshow, a podcast from Studio 360. I'm Sean Ramisferam. I have a hat that says, I am Lakshmi Singh. I've had it for years, but last December, I started taking photos of other people wearing it. I took well over 150 pictures of strangers, friends, family, dogs, and public radio personalities all over the country and Canada. Mark Maron wore the hat. The Easter Bunny wore the hat. Terry Gross refused to wear the hat. The photos got posted and reposted all over social media with the hashtag Lakshmeme. This past Tuesday, at a sort of wild and sometimes serious live event at the Green Space in New York, Lakshmi Singh finally wore the hat. There were songs, there was a video, a conversation about diversity in public radio, and the first annual Public Radio Spelling Bee, featuring a bunch of my favorite public radio and podcast personalities, including Mike Pesca of The Gist.
Mike Pesca's back to spell Noguchi, as in Yuki Noguchi, correspondent on NPR's business desk.
Huh. See, this is why I watch Fox. Their names are like Shepard Smith. What, Shepard's too hard? We'll call him Shep Smith. Easy for you. Noguchi. Noguchi. Can I have the part of speech?
Proper noun?
Proper noun.
How'd I do?
Can you use it in a sentence?
I'm Yuki Noguchi.
The whole event lasted over an hour, and you can watch it all at thegreenspace.org, but here's a condensed podcast version for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Lakshmi Singers.
Sideshow Digital. Got Lakshmi coming out on a Tuesday. Took a while to get a here cause she choosing. Got Lakshmi coming out on a Tuesday. Took a while to get a here cause she choosing. Got Lakshmi coming out on a Tuesday. Took a while to get a here cause she choosing. Got Lakshmi coming out on a Tuesday. Took a while to get a here cause she choosing.
Happy and warm. No more photos being posted. It's been 5 goddamn months. Podcast needs to be hosted. Plus the hat's not looking good, but at least it's got no lice. A lot of people wore it once, and one or two wore it twice. Tell Lakshmi put it on. We gonna take a quick selfie. Fill the room up with a squad and talk some diversity. Then we'll have a spelling bee. We'll try to spell exotic names. Hit the oversized P and play some Sideshow sort of games. This is the end of Lakshmi. You're gonna miss it when it's gone. Those damn Instagrams and those tweets should be immortalized in song.
So we're singing for you.
Public radio needs more memes. So go and make yourself a hat and give it to every last damn person that you know. Think about us and look back and how we got Lakshmi coming out
on a Tuesday. Go out and get a kick of shit shoes. They got Lakshmi coming out.
Coming out
on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
Go out and get a kick of shit shoes. They got Lakshmi coming out.
Coming out
on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
Go out and get a kick of shit shoes. Lakshmi Singh coming out.
Coming out
on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
Go out and get a kick of shit shoes.
Lakshmi Singh coming out.
Hi. Okay, that was the first dream of mine that came true tonight. Thanks for coming. This is Lakshmi, a live event from Sideshow. I'm Sean Ramisferam. Thanks. Thank you. They told me not to move a lot. My mom's here. Hi, Mom. A lot of firsts tonight. This is actually to the date Sideshow's first birthday. cool. Definitely Sideshow's first live event, the first time they've trusted me to do something here. Thanks for coming. Thanks so much for coming. The first public radio spelling bee, you heard about that in the song, and the first time Lakshmi Singh will wear a hat that says, I am Lakshmi Singh, which is, that'll be the second dream that comes true. Let's see here. Why am I wearing this hat? What the hell does it mean? I feel like some of you probably came here because you're just like good friends and have no idea what the hell this is about. So, since I moved to California when I was 16 years old, I've loved public radio. Tried to start working in public radio when I was in my early 20s. Didn't work out for a long time. And at some point, I was making public radio in my parents' closet in Southern California. And I didn't think it was going to happen. Didn't have a lot of connections. Didn't really have tons of experience. Had some. Didn't really feel like I had the right name for it. Sean Ramisvaram. It seemed weird. But then, like, I would listen to Morning Edition and All Things Considered every day, and I would hear Lakshmi Singh's name every day. She'd come on, and she would go,
from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh.
And it's like, NPR News in Washington sounds like the most official place in the world. And, like, and to hear Lakshmi Singh come on and, like, say, like, I'm Lakshmi Singh, I was like, damn, this, like, this could happen. This lady is diverse as all get out, and she's got a real Indian name, and maybe there's a place for me in this world, too. So I wanted to make this hat. My lady made it for me, and I wore it for 3 years. It got real dirty. I washed it a couple times. And then, like, back in December, I was hanging out, and I ran into this Ryan Gosling cutout with some friends, and I put it on, and I thought, you know, that's a funny juxtaposition. Like all good memes, this meme starts with Ryan Gosling. And I just took a photo, posted it on Instagram, and people liked it. The next day, I was hanging out with world-famous hat maker Tessa Stewart, put it on her, took that photo, and then I was thinking, like, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for, like, a couple of weeks and see if I can get Lakshmi Singh to wear this hat. And the next day, I was like, I got to step up my game, got this dude. I call him Dad, but I think his real name's Kurt Anderson. And I was like, okay, get some hosts. So I was like, a couple of weeks, we'll give it a go. It'll be done. That was 5 months ago. But Lakshmi Singh is going to wear this hat right now. I think it's going to happen. Let's do it. Let's bring out Lakshmi. Sing. Lakshmi Singh. Lakshmi Singh. I forgot my phone! I cannot believe I forgot my phone somewhere. If anyone sees an iPhone, that's stupid.
You left it back in the green room.
Did I really?
Yeah,
that
you
is
did.
The dumbest thing I've ever done. Okay, I'm gonna. If you're not wearing it, I'm wearing it.
Hey, go right ahead. There's Sorry, an extra one though.
Okay, it's true.
Okay.
So Lakshmi Singh, is it really you? Gotta ask. They want you to say it, Lakshmi.
Okay.
I didn't even have to ask.
Do you want me to do the whole thing or just the name? I'm Lakshmi Singh.
No, wait. It really is you. Oh my God.
The things you make me do.
I'm sorry. No, that's the only thing. So when did you first see this hat, Lakshmi Singh, and what the heck did you think about it?
Well, okay, when I first saw the hat was when someone was sending me emails about, hey, this is a thing that's going on, and it was ending up in my junk mail. And then somehow someone was able to get more of those emails into my regular inbox at NPR. And then I thought, well, who is this wacky guy? I don't know who he is. And, you know, he's got a lot of time on his hands, I'm thinking. you know, to me, it's just, it's the name I was, you know, for the most part born with, and we'll find out more about this. So I just didn't think, you know, I mean, I go to work and do my job and go home and do a little gardening, and that's that. So...
Lakshmi Singh gardens.
I do.
It's crazy. I hear you drink beer too. I was like blown away when I heard that. I was like, well, Lakshmi Singh drinks beer.
You know, it is what it is. Not often, okay, but you know, fair, often enough.
Were you like closer to like restraining order, or like maybe I'll wear the hat? Like, where on the scale of those?
No, because you know what? I always lean toward, you know, good crazy.
Oh, good.
It was my kind of crazy. Oh,
sweet, sweet.
And then, you know, I saw an image of you, and I was like, well, this can't be a threat. This is good.
This is goofy.
This is good.
There's like a lot of this. I mean, in doing this, I discovered like another person on Instagram who like got her boyfriend to make her a shirt that said, I'm Lakshmi Singh, for Christmas one year.
That's wild.
There's the song I just played.
Yes.
There's like this guy who recently posted a shirt on Twitter with like all of like the women of NPR's names. Like, are you guys all sort of like, is it just the most flattering thing? Because public radio, it gets its own kind of love, but it doesn't get a lot of this kind of,
I mean,
life,
how
right?
could it not be flattering?
Yeah.
It's lovely at first, but for me, I take it a step further because for me, this is about a listener being able to relate to someone who's a complete stranger in every other way, but they have an opportunity to relate to someone on a daily basis. I mean, how cool is it, you know, that you two people will never really meet, but they have a connection in some way.
Yeah.
And this was an opportunity for that to happen. I mean, this is the proof.
Yeah, that's great.
Right here is the proof.
Did you have a Lakshmi Singh? Like, if you were mine, did you have one of those as well? Someone who like got you interested in radio, or a voice you heard on the radio that made you sort of excited about public radio or commercial radio?
Well, it was interesting because that's where the story begins. I didn't hear a lot of people with my kind of backgrounds that were not very similar to mine in broadcasting. And
what is that background for everyone? Just maybe people.
I'm bi-ethnic, which means I have a Puerto Rican mother and an Indo-Trinidadian father. So I'm West Indian and Latina. I grew up, you know, having to explain the name and dealing with the questions of, well, where are you from? You know, and then I'd have to go through the whole background. And at first, you know, for a number of years, I didn't have an issue with that at all. I was happy to explain things. But it got to a point where it was just like, that's enough. So finally, I would ask, you know, when I got the question, then I would say, well, you know, I live in Silver Spring, Maryland. Where are you from? And then, no. I mean, where are you from? Yeah. Silver Spring, Maryland. But before that, I was actually born in New York City. No, where are you from? and then finally they got up the courage to say, well, where are your parents from? Oh, that's what you want to know. And then I wouldn't leave it alone there. I would then ask, where are your parents from? You know, oh, no, everybody was just from here. Well, then go back a few generations. You know, let's talk about it. And at that point, once I began doing that, there were some amazing conversations that finally took place. And we talked about how, you know, being able to have dialogue, you know, a constructive dialogue. Well, it begins with, you know, mutual respect, the willingness to listen, and just chat, just have a conversation, and not, you know, not make too much big of a deal about it, so that way no one is defensive. You know, they're willing to share. They're willing to share their stories, and that's proven very, very, very helpful.
When I was working in radio in Santa Cruz, I hosted All Things Considered, like, locally there for a while, and I would get on the radio and say my name, and I would say, I'm Sean Rameswaram, I think, and my mom called me, like, a week in, and she's like, you're saying it wrong. I was like, I'm 20, like, sixth, I'm saying it wrong? She's like, yeah, it's Rameswaram, and I'm wondering if you get grief for people being like, it's not Lakshmi, it's Lakshmi.
Right.
Do you get that?
Oh, totally, yeah. All the time, and usually it's, that level of input is from other South Asian listeners.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, Lakshmi is, you know, actually a deity, And there's a level of respect that one, it's widely believed one must observe. And my father gave me the name, and my grandmother called me Lakshmi. And so it just seemed odd, and everyone's fine with it, so it just seemed odd that there was now sort of a very mild sort of demand for me to bend to someone else's idea of what is right and what is wrong, which really helped shape my belief. It wasn't the thing that did it, but it helped shape my belief that the individual is important. And when one respects the individual and the individuality, then the collective benefits. So instead of feeling compelled to bend to other people's will, the will of the majority, to make them, you know, hopefully feel more comfortable, because we were talking about there was a number of years where when I first started out in the business where they wanted me to change my name to something like, I don't know. I mean, just totally non-Asian, you know, sounding. Yeah. And
like Lindsay Singh?
Well, I don't
know. No offense.
No, they wanted me
the
to drop Singh altogether. And then it was everything was being shortened. And I'm like, I'm like, this isn't me. And they said, well, you're not going to really make it in the business. I'm sorry. Hmm. You're good. But you're not going to make it in the business if you don't have a name that the majority of your listeners or viewers or readers can understand. You know, they have to be able to relate to it. And I talked to my father about it, whose image was flashed up there. That was a great surprise. Thank you. Thank you.
I had a lot of free time.
No, apparently you do not. You're just very good with your time. But I talked to him about it, and all he had to say was, no daughter of mine is changing her name. I named you this. Your mother argued. She still can't say your name correctly, but who cares? All these years later, you're not changing your name. And then he threw something in about, you know, paying my school tuition, and it costs a lot. And I'm not going to deal with this nonsense. So that was it.
We're going to continue this conversation with Stephanie and Chandra. Can we just give it up one time for Lakshmi Singh?
Thank you. I know. I see it.
Have you ever hung out? No, sorry. Let's bring out Stephanie Fu from This American Life and Snap Judgment, and Chandrai Kumanika, professor of communication at Clemson University. So I think we're going to hit on some of the similar themes, but I'm also curious about how this applies to podcasting now, and also to, you know, Chandrai's experience with sort of tracking and your voice and how your voice should sound. So. I just wanted to open up to you guys and ask first, like I asked Lakshmi, like, how did you get into radio? Did you hear a voice that you identified with, or did you want to, or did it not matter?
I didn't know public radio existed until after I graduated from college.
Wow.
And my friends were driving me to LA, so it was like a really long car ride. And this was when that was the year that This American Life first put all of their shows online as podcasts, and so she put it on, and I was like, oh, please, talk radio, I can't, and she was like, just give it a shot, and but I heard, it was the Habeas Schmabeas episode, and I was instantly hooked, and I just listened to a ton of it, and when I got into public radio, actually, when I started trying to make it, and when I first got my job at Snap Judgment, I thought it was a huge deal. I was like, this is my dream job, and all of my friends were like, you're basically an old white person, what are you doing?
Like a poorly paid old white person.
I had a...
No offense to us. I keep offending people all the time.
You know, I just from the beginning went in with the idea that I was going to try and change the medium as much as I could and make it not for just old white people and try to make radio that my friends would actually listen to.
Yeah.
And it, you know, Snap Judgment has the youngest, most diverse audience in all of public radio. And
why do you think that is?
I think it's because it hired young, diverse people.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And Chandrai, did you have a similar story, totally different, how you got into public radio?
I was living in Philadelphia, so I was listening to WHYY. And, you know, I just would listen, tune in on the news thing and found myself, you know, having driveway moments, you know, being like caught in the driveway, don't want to get out, got to go to the bathroom, but I don't want to miss the end of American Life. And then kind of like putting the radio there while I would like be chopping vegetables, just kind of keep me company. But at the same time, I also was having the experience of, like, you know, I'm a brother, and I would be to some of my friends in Philly, you know, at the barbershop. I'd be like, yo, there was this crazy episode of, you know, whatever, you know, this American. And they would be, I'd be like, you got to listen to it. And they're like, nah, dog, I'm not feeling you on that. Not everybody, right?
And what do you think that is? And you told them just what the story was. Like, I heard this story. It was because barbershop's a great place to tell stories.
It is.
Do you think if you then said, and I heard it on the radio on the show This American Life, like, what? Where's the point where they check out? They're like, no, I'm not interested in that.
You had me at Incredible Story. You lost me at Public Radio. You know, and I don't think they see it as a venue that really relates to them. Now, again, this isn't everybody, right? It depends on what I'm talking about. So, yeah.
I think you mentioned it, like, snap judgment. At least let's have different people telling stories. Let's cast a wider net, younger, more diverse.
Definitely. I think we need to change hiring practices from the ground up. I think that we should be able to hire people who don't necessarily have Pro Tools experience but have really great writing and storytelling experience. I think that we should pay our interns, obviously.
Yeah.
So that it's... so that only people of all backgrounds can come join us and not just the uber privileged. And I think that we should also change the way that we tell people's stories.
Chenjerai, last year you started this huge conversation online on all sorts of radio shows in this country and even in Canada about... No offense, Canada.
Aren't you Canadian?
About the whiteness of public radio is what you called it. You were tracking a piece and you felt like you needed to sound a certain way. And maybe this is why folks don't want to listen to public radio, because they don't hear their way represented. Could you tell us a bit about what that felt like?
Yeah, I mean, I was taking the Transom workshop. Shout out to Transom, who's really, I think, trying to also tackle this problem. And as I was started to narrate my piece, working on the narration part, I would realize I was hearing, like, other voices in my head that I thought were cool voices, by the way, I just want to say, you know, voices that sound very sophisticated, but it wasn't like the way I talk.
Let's call them out. Whose voices were they?
I mean, I heard Iris' voice and Sarah Koenig, Roman Mars' voice in my head.
Very cool voices.
And I thought they were very cool. And I was like, but I don't know if I sound like that. Am I allowed to kind of narrate this the way I speak? Will that be considered professional or standard? So I was talking about that, and it was really Rob Rosenthal who said, I've never heard that before, you should write about that. Hmm. I think one of the reasons the piece caught on is because there are a lot of people who are already talking about this, so this just gave everybody a sort of common text to talk about this. There's also another side, you know, the response to the piece. If you go to the NPR comments, you see some things, right, where people are talking about standards and professionalism. And things where I think there's a little bit of, you know, not just racism, but all these sort of weird hierarchies about identity hide in terms like that. Well, we just need all walks of life. Somebody called my department where I work and said, he's telling students they don't have to speak where all walks of life can understand. I'm like, all walks of life means white people, right? Is that what you're saying? So, yeah, so I think there's a way in which we have to push the expectations of the audience, you know, get more experiences out. One thing that was also interesting for me was to hear the experiences of people as the conversation proceeded, people who doubted their own voices, people who talked about the kind of coaching that they received, women being told that they were not, their voices weren't, you know, professional enough, or their voices were annoying, you know. And so that was, I think that's important for people to hear that, because as those stories come out, that empowers other producers.
And do you feel more confident after this whole experience? Now, when you voice a piece, do you still hear Roman Mars or Sarah Koenig, or do you hear Chenjerai?
I mean, you know, I think I'm increasingly able to see a way of speaking. I mean, I just was listening to Al Letson's new podcast. I think it's called Everything, you know. And
I don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I was like, I understand. And when I heard that, I was like, you know, that made me feel a little bit more, you know, like... But I think one of the issues is there's a lack of diversity in narrative nonfiction. Like, if you look at a lot of the diversity that exists in the podcasting world, it's in what someone said is called the Chitlin Circuit of, you know, like in The Black Guy Who Tips. And, I mean, they're doing incredible work, but it's not in the narrative nonfiction work. And that's, those are some of the most popular ones. One of the things that we have to try to do is find a more complex way to talk about issues of identity. And I'm talking about the whole, you know, race, you know, orientation, age, and all these other things. Maybe it's because I live in South Carolina, but I feel like every conversation I have at race, at some level, it's particularly when it's with a white person, they're trying to convince me they're not racist at some level. You know, and I'm like, I get it. I get that. But it's like structural issues, right? Sure. That was part of what I was trying to raise in my piece. Like, public radio needs to look like and sound like the public. And I think we can push the boundaries of younger people to understand that, yes, there's stories that can be told, and it doesn't, you know, the person doesn't have to be exactly like you for you to identify.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't think that it's mutually exclusive to have really great reporting and also young people's voices on the radio. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important that my voice is on the radio. I think that when I told a story recently about my upbringing in Malaysia, I got lots of people writing into me who were Chinese being like, oh my God, that was the first time that I'd heard my story ever told on this forum. Mm. And I think that young people are going to turn to us that way because it's like, oh, I hear a young person's voice that I can relate to. And I think that it's important to make people uncomfortable. And I feel very comfortable with making the classic public radio audience uncomfortable and confused all the time. I want to freak them out with the weird hip-hop music that I'm putting on the radio. I want them to hate my vocal fry. Like, I embrace that. Hate me. Go ahead. Because what it means is that I'm relevant. Like, that audience, the same audience that's going to hate my vocal fry, that's not going to be able to tolerate the music that I am playing, and that can't catch up to any, you know, I think it's ridiculous that we can second reference Kafka and we can't second reference Nicki Minaj. I think that's ridiculous. And I think that, you know, older white people are really smart, and I think that they will catch up. If I say Nicki Minaj, like, I think you'll figure it out.
By the way, have you heard this really cool show called Sideshow? You know? I listened to that and I was
your
like,
"Your check is in the mail."
I thought I was cool, and I realized I don't know about anything cool, you know. So I have to tune in to learn about those things, and it's on public radio. So just
with that, I think we'll call it. Thanks, guys. Chandrai Kumanika, Stephanie Fu, Lakshmi motherfucking Singh. I think we're going to have a spelling bee in a second, but first we're going to clear the stage and bring back out the Lakshmi singers for another song. You guys good with that?
Yeah. That's cool. Just cracking jokes, little too high, so they're not that stoked. You turn it off like, boy, quit rambling to me. Yeah. Clearly don't know about sound design. Clearly don't have an editor's mind. You don't have time for such trivial things. The shows are too long. You hate the theme song. The joke's mostly bomb. Whole thing is wrong. Why can't we be like Click and Clack? You don't want to listen, but everybody listens. You try to understand why everybody listens. This is enough to drive you mad. If you think podcasts are getting old, find a radio and scan the dial. Turn on NPR and learn something. If you think podcasts are getting old, find a radio and scan that dial. Your local member station wants you back. Storyteller, he's a storyteller, she's a storyteller, and this one's about battle yeller. Stories all the same, and you sound like I realized. New shows, overwhelmed by new shows. You're falling behind, and that's how the story goes. Might be time to blanket unsubscribe. Yeah, shows are too long, you hate the theme songs. Jokes mostly bomb, the whole thing is wrong. Why can't we be like Click and Clack? You don't want to listen, but everybody listens. You try to understand, but everybody listens. This is enough to drive you mad. Ooh, yeah. If you think podcasts are getting old, find a radio and scan that dial. Turn on NPR and learn something. If you think podcasts are getting old, find a radio and scan that dial. Your local Memphis station wants you back. If you think podcasts are getting old, find a radio and scan that dial. Turn on NPR and learn something. If you think podcasts are getting old, find a radio and scan that dial. Your local Memphis station wants you back.
A historic moment unfolded just moments ago. A historic moment. A historic moment. A historic moment. From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh.
Thanks for listening to Sideshow Live. There are so many people to thank. Tessa Stewart for making a now legendary hat, Lakshmi Singh, Stephanie Fu, Chenjerai Kumanika on the panel, Alex Kappelman and Joe Martinez as the Lakshmi Singers, Mike Pesca, Zoe Chase, Ophira Eisenberg, Dan Pashman, and the winner of the first annual Public Radio Spelling Bee, Brooke Gladstone. Everyone at the Green Space, especially Jennifer Sendro, helped me make it a reality. Kayla Hoke and Julia Henderson helped with multimedia. Emil Klein made an amazing pinata. Mike Alcesor and Forest Incentives provided hats we put inside the pinata. And the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder made an extended version of his NPR drop for the moment Lakshmi destroyed the pinata. You're listening to this amazing piece of music right now. Lital Molad is the reason I work at Studio 360, the reason I have Sideshow, and helped me make this event a big success. She's leaving the arts and heading down to the health desk, and I'll miss her. Thanks for everything, boss. Now we'll just be friends.
It has a sound to it, like a shh. Pretty nice. Apparently have a tremendous impact. Now the White House turns its attention to finding someone to
let the bass kick.
From NPR News in Washington. Washington, I'm Lakshmi.
Putting it down, cause I'm the best around. People you don't know, me and NPR been high since 20 years ago.
Blasphemous, but it sounds nice.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
All right, Brooke.
I just want to say before you do that, that when I first met Jad, I misheard him, and I thought his name was Rad, so I kept calling him Rad, until somebody told me that he said, if Gladstone calls me Rad one more time, I'm going to punch her in the face.